It is time to bring in Brian Ross. It is time for Real News. Brian joins us every Thursday right around this time, and we chat about news stories and events. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning to you as we wait the storm.
Yeah, well, Pat Picanto said it's going to be around 6 inches. Some places will get 3 to 4, and some places might get as high as 8, because it's just two storms that are moving up the coast, and there's a lot of variabilities. But just know that it's a long-duration event, so by the time it's all over, we'll probably be settling around at 6 or 7 inches. But it was a surprise little bit of snow that's on the ground this morning that I think everybody thought that was the forerunner of the storm, and it wasn't. So, but anyways,
just a little extra offering. Well, of course, compared to what's happening in Texas, where they are completely unprepared.
Well, you know that, you know, as this story has developed, I'm not an investigative reporter, not at all. But as this story has developed, and I looked into it, and I see what happened, and I see what the governor said, and then I see when I went back in the history of what is the history of the deployment of electric resources in Texas, this was just plain out and out a governmental failure and a grid failure. I mean, it was a failure on so many different levels of the main government in Texas that it's almost frightening.
A combination of arrogance and ignorance, it seems to me, what's going on down there.
You know, this happened before in Texas. People forget this. Now, not as bad as this year, but 11 years ago, when Texas first decided to save money by going off the national grid and then having their own electric producers in the state, this is the wild thing, have the ability to shut down and not operate when they won't make a profit. And and in Texas, electric companies make a profit when? In the summertime, in the springtime, in the fall, not in the winter. So only, get this, 25% of the generating capacity was available. And then when they started to blame the windmills, I investigated further, there's windmills in Alaska. Once again, when they bought all their windmills, they didn't get them winterized.
Exactly, and there's a certain kind of metal you can use. I mean, they're running windmill, you know, the turbines in Alaska and Greenland. They can run them in Texas. It's just they went on a cheaper route. I suppose they suspected it'd never get this cold, but it did. And now they're stuck in this great suffering and misery, which may well have political consequences in Texas.
It's just, you know, it's absolutely amazing. And you can look at the states around them. Everybody, Louisiana had temperatures of single-digit numbers. In New Orleans, the streets basically, because of COVID, were empty, but it was in the teens and 20s in New Orleans. And 10 years ago, when Texas had 10 or 11 years ago, when they had that unbelievable cold snap then, they did nothing about it in 10 years. And that is a combination of poor government and poor regulation of your electric industries. And you know, the United States, Joe Biden very quickly has acted to send generators, 80 to 100 generators down and stuff like that. But this is a state that wants to always proclaim that it can gain its independence. It can leave, you know, we're Texas.
It goes it alone. Yeah, they go it alone. And, you know, of course, all politics are local. And, you know, mayors of New York can do great until they don't plow the streets and they lose elections. And I think the Republicans in Texas now face a potential reckoning over this.
You know, I look at the news report from February in 2011. All right, I was February 2011. The Arctic cold front descended from the southwest. The results were disastrous. Equipment and instruments froze, forcing shutdowns of power plants, rolling blackouts. The same equipment, the report, had failed during a previous cold snap in 1989.
What happened?
This is now the third time since 1989, except this time turned out to be more disastrous. You look at this as somebody sitting here in the Northeast, or we deal with this all the time. Yes, we're used to it, and there's things that they can do better in Texas. But you just, you know, to leave the national, it seems like they did everything conceivable to make this happen. And the whole thing, when I spoke to people who live in Texas, it was all done so the electric companies wouldn't have to operate at a loss during the seasons, so they could have a bigger profit margin. That's why everything was done that way in Texas. That's just amazing.
Right. It makes sense until it doesn't. And then as you see, as you say, the repeating pattern, well, it's not every 100 years, it's every 10 years. Well, then you plan for that, and they haven't, obviously.
Yeah, and now how expensive is it going to, instead of, if it were done 20 years ago, just imagine how much more expensive it's going to be to the state of Texas and to these companies now to bring everything up to snuff. So, when you hear about the cold in Texas, yes, feel sorry for the people. I just am devastated. But understand, it's not because of green energy. It's not because they don't have natural resources there. It's the way they distribute their power. And that is decided by the government, which is run, of course, from the governor on down.
Absolutely correct on that, and it's a sort of a reminder that there is a need for government, there is a need for regulation, and it can't all be market-driven. It's just market-driven. They're only going to produce power when they make a profit. That leaves people out. You know, it's an essential, and there needs to be requirements, minimums, at least, by the government.
All right. We'll get away from Texas now, the Lone Star State. I still am amazed that also, you know, they don't have snow plows in Texas. And that really amazed me. In this portion of Texas, you think they would have a few anyways on the street just to, for things like this. But anyway, we'll get away from it now and move on to, what did you think about Joe Biden's first town hall?
I thought he nailed it. It showed the man as who he is, great empathy, great passion and compassion. Deftly handled questions from all comers there. And, it was a ratings bonanza for CNN, I see. And I think for him, it helped sell his package, which is still not completely sold, but he's moving in the right direction. I think he's going to be today in Detroit doing much the same thing.
Yeah, I thought I didn't see the town hall itself, but I saw his answers to questions and to some tough questions. And he was very honest and forthright and very open and I was impressed. I was impressed the way he handled it and the way he's going into this.
We have not seen too many stumbles. There are always going to be some, and
yeah,
they'll be played up. But we have not seen that at all. And I think so far in the first month now, really coming up on the first month of the Biden administration, they're getting good marks. The honeymoon is over with the press after the developed into a mini scandal in the press office with one of the deputy press secretaries berating a reporter for a story she was going to write and threatening to ruin her. Despite Mr. Biden's pledge that anybody who acted that way would be fired on the spot, he wasn't fired on the spot until finally he was.
Speaking about that, listen, my grandmother was the first woman on the Connecticut State Central Committee for Democrats back in the 50s, the first woman. She was a good friend of Abe Ribicoff. She was a big campaigner, big political person. And she always used to say, I remember being a kid when she would have her friends over. And back then, Republicans were, everybody, it was 99% Republican in this area. And she would say, you got to be tough in politics. You got to really, but then when the politicking is over, you go back to your normal life. I read the story about New York Governor Cuomo, who's had a bad week. And where he said, I guess offhandedly to an assemblyman, that he can destroy him. I would hate to see today's young politicians have to deal with the politicians that used to be in power 20 years ago, because they didn't say they were they didn't threaten; they just did it.
Well, the Cuomo episode is a reminder that let's have some grains of salt as we listen and watch all of our public officials. He thrived, I thought, because of the poor performance of Trump, and he became the alternative to actually having a public official he thought was telling us the truth. Now it turns out they were hiding the ball in terms of the number of deaths at nursing homes.
Yeah, and what's interesting about that is sooner or later it's going to come out. I mean, it's sooner or later it's going to come out, and it's going to do damage to you. And that's what I just don't understand in today's modern times, where everybody has a cell phone that can take pictures and record. Sooner or later, there is no safe, unleakable information.
Right.
I don't understand that about politicians or people in general nowadays. The foolish things that they do, you build up public trust, and once it's gone in a second, it's hard to build back.
Right, and this belief you can always cover it up, it's always the worst, you know, you can't.
And I guess finally we'll talk just a second or two about, you know, the Republican Party is the Donald Trump Party now, and any normal conservative, if they're gonna want to be in a party, they're gonna have to start one themselves, because the Republican Party isn't going back to the GOP. It's just not.
Well, it's whatever you want to call the grand old party, I guess. The Mitch McConnell Donald Trump war or feud is can't be helpful to the party, and it can't be helpful to Republicans who want to try to reclaim either the House or the Senate. But that's Donald Trump. He's beginning a sort of a media whistle-stop tour from his Mar-a-Lago club there, and his aim is to not go away quietly, as we can see.
It's pretty amazing times we live in. That's all I've got to say.
Well, and it's also just a reminder, we didn't get to Donald Trump to the very end of this conversation. We might have even skipped it altogether.
Yeah, I had to put it in there for old time's sake. All right. Well, Brian, we'll speak to you next week and
all
see
right,
what develops.
All right, get the snow shovels ready, and we'll be listening to see from you and your gang there what we're going to face.
All right. Thanks, Brian. Take
you
care. Real News with Brian Ross here on Robinhood Radio. You can find it also on demand, robinhoodradio.com. On demand, just look for Real News with Brian Ross.